I am Linda von Tolberg for BizNews. As the prevalence of Parkinson's disease continues to rise, particularly amidst aging populations, its impact is becoming increasingly significant across diverse cultural and ethnic groups in South Africa and the broader African continent. A key player in supporting those affected by this condition is the nonprofit organization Parkinson's ZA. Well, today we are joined by their founding director, Rakesh Hariwai, to discuss how Parkinson's ZA is making a difference in the lives of individuals and families dealing with Parkinson's disease. Well, hi, Rakesh. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Linda, and thank you to the BizNews community for having us.
So why did you get involved with Parkinson's ZA?
So, Linda, my association with the disease is my mum had Parkinson's. It was around 2005. I was working in Johannesburg, and when I got the news, and the problem with Parkinson's, and for that matter, most geriatric diseases, is that it's just resigned to old age. So my mom basically had the disease without much support, and it becomes an incredibly sort of lonely journey for those people, family members, carers, friends that are around people diagnosed with Parkinson's. So when she passed on in 2021, I sort of, I was much more privileged to be able to, and pretty well resourced, to get the right information to visit, albeit being in Johannesburg while she was in Durban, I made every sort of neurologist appointment, and we had a good caregiver that basically helped. And so from that perspective, when she passed on, I thought, well, this is something we can actually give back to the community and to try to establish a big enough support ecosystem for people with Parkinson's, starting with just normal support, something that's available in most sort of first world countries.
Yeah. So it's because of this backstory that you started it. And how did it get off the ground? Is it now only been going for a couple of years?
Yeah. So, interestingly, one of the benefits of COVID is the world became smaller. And if you're starting to establish a nonprofit, there's no issues with competition. So everyone's very willing to help you. And, so I started really with, Parkinson's Europe, Parkinson's UK, then went on to the Parkinson's Foundation in the US. And of course, the US has many, many sort of nonprofits dealing with Parkinson's disease. And through that journey, I was actually introduced to the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Society in India. I recognized that what we needed was, a rudimentary type of solution. Something and obviously a jurisdiction that has a parallel healthcare system like South Africa, and of course with India having much like South Africa a very broken public healthcare system, I reached out to a lady by the name of Maria Barreto, who runs the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Society in India, and they've been they've established and developed an evidence-based program, about 20 years ago, and they've spread this program across 60 centers in India since their establishment. And this program incorporates physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, but dumbed down to the extent that you don't need someone with scrubs to teach this program. I mean, effectively, we teach people how to become more independent in terms of personal hygiene, in terms of their mobility, getting in and out of a bed, getting in and out of a car. So our objective is really to make people as independent, people with Parkinson's, and of course, their carers and their family members, become a little bit, less sort of, or people with Parkinson's becoming less dependent on their family members and carers.
So is this all on your website, all the information?
So we have a lot of information on our website. We try, because we are, we have a very thin organizational structure deliberately, because we're reliant on the community largely for donations. So we keep our fixed costs light. I have a day job, so I manage all the organizational issues. And we have a program manager in Durban. We actually have three programs in Durban. So, I mean, on a Monday, we have a table tennis program where we have invite the community to play table tennis. On a Thursday, we render the PDMDS program that I mentioned earlier, to the community of Durban at large. And on a Friday, we started a program at a retirement home called the Bet Shalom Home in Durban. We try to keep, we try to spread our fixed costs as lightly as possible. And so, you know, as a result of that, coming back to your question, you will see that our website basically points to a lot of community partners like Parkinson's Europe, Parkinson's UK, where those websites are a lot more resourced with information and have a bit of a feedback. We obviously deliberately don't want to offer too much of medical information. So our website is really sort of directed, to people with Parkinson's to get active. Incidentally, one of the biggest breakthroughs in Parkinson's research is that aerobic exercise tends to attenuate the symptoms of Parkinson's. So you'll see there's lots of activity-based stuff on our website, pointers to certain exercises, lots of blogs in terms of motivating people and looking at people around the world that have Parkinson's, but that are still conducting their lives fairly independently. We try to basically keep it focused on people, encouraging people to thrive with Parkinson's. And then in terms of any medical information, we encourage them to go to our community partner pages.
So do you plan to, you talked about what you do in Durban. Do you plan to roll it out to other cities in South Africa?
Yes, Linda. I mean, we're now 2 years young and established largely in Durban. And we've been, our objective is to first, replicate the model in other metros of South Africa, Cape Town and Johannesburg specifically, and then actually roll it out to peri-urban areas. And like I said, because it's a rudimentary model, we can use a physiotherapist, but we can also use a biokineticist, a trainer, a nursing sister at a home to basically replicate the program. And in that regard, we're actually looking at Pretoria East. There's a number of retirement homes in Pretoria East, and we're actually talking to one particular retirement home. And hopefully as early as March, we would be able to announce the start of a new support group in Pretoria East that uses the same program that we have in Durban. I mean, I just want to, elaborate on that. I mean, when we first launched our program, and it's very similar to what I saw with my mum, Parkinson's, people with Parkinson's become very insular. Because watching what develops to their body, they become very embarrassed. They don't want to go out in public. And so, those that attended our launch at the Durban Country Club, in August 2022, they were very much the same, hardly spoke, very reluctant, very cautious, in terms of what was next. 2 years later, what we've developed is a community. They look forward to playing table tennis on a Monday, meeting each other on a Wednesday, going in smaller groups to the beach on a Saturday. So what we've created is a community, and Michael J. Fox, is quoted as saying that, the expert with Parkinson's, the expert in Parkinson's is the person with Parkinson. And what we've created is a forum where people learn from each other, simple tips. About their medication, about clothes to wear, about little chicks, about sharing their stories, without having to explain too much about their condition. So, we've noticed the efficacy in this program in terms of their social confidence, in terms of improved mobility. So we're really enthusiastic about expanding this program to Pretoria East, at the beginning of the year and hopefully to Johannesburg, later or early next year, and Cape Town, of course, as well. But yeah, I mean, look, the demand is overwhelming. You know, it's the fastest growing neurodegenerative disease in the world. And so from that perspective, you know, I personally sort of man the, man our sort of email, our contact email address. And, you know, I mean, if we could do more, you know, we will. But of course, I mean, you know, we want to grow sustainably and, you know, cognizant that we are living in a country with lots of social and, you know, competing social priorities. So, you know, raising funds from the community, you know, is paramount to our growth.
You mentioned Michael J. Fox. So it's so important that a celebrity like that, you know, talks about this. I mean, he was even on at a Coldplay concert playing a guitar. You know, are there people like that in South Africa that can carry the torch for Parkinson's and to say that, you know, there's another, might be another way of living with this?
Look, Linda, I'm sure there is. But I mean, we need more and more people to actually come out. I mean, you know, most people in South Africa still talk about Michael J. Fox, Muhammad Ali, but, you know, still nobody has someone South African that they can actually relate to. You know, and we do need, you know, an evangelistic kind of approach, you know, to the disease for more people to basically come out. You know, and like Michael J. You know, like Michael J. Fox. You know, I mean, he still has the odd cameo role in movies. You know, and takes interviews and stuff like that. So we do really need people like that because we want people to know that you can thrive with Parkinson's disease. You don't have to be insular. You can make friends, and the more of these people that come out. You know, the more South Africans with Parkinson's have people to look up to.
So what are we looking at in South Africa? What does the data say? How many people have Parkinson's?
So this is the tragedy, Linda. We don't actually have an accurate record of the number of people with Parkinson's. I think that's one of the things that we are trying to do through the. Through our affiliations with the South African disability organizations, with the South African Epilepsy Organization, is to basically sort of get our medical practitioners to have some way of actually recording this year. I mean that's only, we're really talking about those that are diagnosed, and typically those that are diagnosed are actually part of the medically insured part of our population. You know, there are many people that go undiagnosed because they don't have the right access to healthcare or a neurologist. And, you know, the other thing that's worth saying is that the, you know, the stereotype for Parkinson's is a 60-something-year-old, you know, white male. But I mean, you know, I can say with a fair degree of confidence, I mean, if I look at our support group in Durban, the proportion of male to female is kind of 50-50, number one. And of course, I mean, in South Africa, we live in a peculiar situation where a number of our indigenous African community, finds this as witchcraft and therefore are reluctant to basically, again, get themselves diagnosed and really becoming a member of the community. They typically get resigned to the corners of community where nobody wants to interact with them. So there is still a lack of awareness that needs to be, remedied.
Are there clinical characteristics unique to Africans or Indians in South Africa that might differ from the data that's out there in Europe or in America?
So look, I mean, there's been a lot of research in terms of genetic markers. Especially through the Michael J. Fox Foundation, I'm really not clued up in terms of how it impacts various communities. But I do know that there are a lot of ways to actually sort of identify which gene marker you have.
Well, Rakesh Haribhai, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Linda, thank you so much for your time, and to the members of the BizNews community. Our website is parkinsonza.org, and our email is hello@parkinsonza.org. So, feel free to reach out to us.